Hi, this is Bobby Lee from Mad TV. Yes. Yo, what's up? This is Pauly Shore, San Diego. You're listening to my sister's radio station, Sandy Seashore. Check it out.
Thank you for joining us worldwide. It's time to fix what ails you. And everyone knows that laughter is the best medicine. So we've gone right to the first family of comedy, to the lady who wrote the book, Sandy Seashore. Yes, that's her real name. Only a comedian would name their kid Sandy Seashore. Well, what do you expect when your family owns the world-famous comedy store? If laughter's the best medicine, well, then Sandy, she's Dr. Feelgood. Hey, thanks for being here. Tonight, Sandy will check in with the world-famous comedy store to find out who's on stage and hear the inside story of what's really happening backstage and on the Hollywood Strip. She'll help you laugh and learn with some real news. And of course, hide the dog biscuits because Sonny Shore is on the loose. He's smarter than Lassie and looks better than Ren 10-10. And this is one dog that knows his comedy. And now, here's the seashore that's not in your geography book. A lady with so much talent, she's worldwide at sandyshore.com. Welcome to Happy Hour with Sandy Seashore.
Everyone, it's Sandy Shore. It's Thursday night again. How about that? The weeks just keep rolling by. Well, anyway, we're on the heels of our wild Valentine show we had last week. We have James Gilliland coming back and with some updated news and things. Of course, Tommy from the Comedy Store, the talent coordinator, is with us here at the top of the hour. Tommy, welcome back to the Happy Hour show.
Hi, Sandy. How you doing today?
Pretty good. A little tired out. Too much activity going on between the gardener and the dog. Getting ready for two big dog shows this weekend.
Great.
Over in Del Mar. In case anyone's just tuning in, I'm here in San Diego.
Cool.
And so we're getting ready for another big rain pelting.
Yeah.
Tonight. I love weather. What's going on your end? You're in Hollyweird, California on Sunset Boulevard. And Pauly, I saw his new TV show on Showtime, Natural Born Comics.
Yeah?
Is that what the name of it?
Yeah, Natural Born Killer.
Actually, he's getting better at putting these shows together. This is a real tight-knit editing that he did.
Mm-hmm.
It was a little gross, as usual.
Right.
Not my taste, but...
Right. You saw your buddy Kirk Fox in there?
Yeah, my favorite buddy. Ugh. He's a pretty good little actor there, though.
Oh, yeah.
He didn't break character one bit.
He has great self-belief. He really does.
I guess. Yeah, if we don't believe in ourselves, who else will?
That's right.
You know, maybe, well, anyway. So, what's happening up there?
Well, you know, we had a really big weekend last weekend, too, for it being Valentine's Day. And
right.
This week, tonight, we have the Hot Tamales Live Show. This is a show that Eva Longoria sponsors, and Kiki Melendez, who's...
Oh, they've been doing that show for years.
Yeah, they have. Because I remember Eva Longoria running around here just when she did skits, when she was just one of the girls in the things before she got her big part. So it's really kind of a cool thing. And I think she's coming tonight. She comes near the end of the show and comes out and waves everybody and says hey and says how much she loves Kiki and how they started here together. So she'll probably be here tonight.
You know, it pays to just keep being persistent about anything.
Yeah.
Especially if you're in this business. You have to just keep going and going.
It took her about 6 or 7 years. She worked at it hard.
That's right. And she, when I was... producing shows at Indian Casino, I brought her down, and that was years ago.
Right.
And so she's still at it. Here comes my dog with the magic 8-ball.
Oh, great.
So it's time to ask Sunny Sky a question. Here he comes, and I don't have any harp music, but I'd be playing it by now. Like, drum roll, please. Tommy, Sunny wants your question.
Well, I think I have a question that's relevant to what everybody's thinking right now.
Okay.
Is Barack Obama going to win the Democratic primary?
Okay, let's see what it says. Drop the ball. Okay, it says, as I see it, yes.
Ah.
And, of course, the ball was made in China. Politics is so dirty, and this John McCain thing they just came out
with. Oh, that was dumb. That really made your mom upset. Your mom is very wrapped into this. So So she was very upset that they're doing that to McCain, whether he wins or not. She says that he doesn't deserve to be treated like that.
Well, you know, they're dirty, and that's how they have to play.
Yeah, I know.
And what's happening this weekend in La Jolla?
La Jolla, Sam Tripoli's coming down this weekend.
I'm sure people, like, out in India, like, don't care what's happening in La Jolla, but...
Well, La Jolla is a beautiful beach community. It really is. And
well,
many famous performers have actually come from there. George Carlin's from there, right?
I didn't know that.
Yeah, George Carlin's from La Jolla, San Diego area. And I was just watching this thing, Cliff Robertson, pretty famous movie actor. He's from there. And Tim Thomerson lives down there, you know. So It's a great place. But the showdown this weekend, we're sending Sam Tripoli's headlining down there. He's totally developed by your mom. He's been with her since 1998. And he's just in his mid-30s now. And he's really, really good. He's been on Spike TV, Late Night with Craig Ferguson. We've also got down there a guy named Matt Fultron, who's he's described by the Young Comics as an anti-comic. He's not rude or anything, but he's kind of an offbeat way to him. It's not offensive, but it's intelligent. And
Which type of comedians would you say are actually breaking now? I mean, what would you say?
Honest-voiced ones, like the one the store produced, because there's so many that just got their phony act.
Mm-hmm. When you say phony, explain that.
I don't know, just written out jokes that are something that you deliver well, not always what you feel from your heart, what you really want
to
talk about.
Very
hard. Just crafted jokes.
Right, those are called cookie cutter comics.
Right.
I guess the ones that just tell jokes, and anyone can tell jokes. So it doesn't mean you've developed your personality.
A lot of these guys from here I know tell jokes, but they'll tell jokes around what's happening in our world or what they see in the way that society and people are at this moment.
Mm-hmm.
And you do that too great, Sandy. You produce comics who learn how to talk about themselves.
Yes. I've got some new ones coming up that are getting ready to break.
Good.
They've been studying with me for quite some time.
And I got Naveed and Ahmed hooked up with each other.
Yes, they are. Naveed's doing very well.
Yep.
He's a comedian from India, Bangladesh, and he did phenomenal over there.
Yeah, he did. So, we put him up in a late-night set, something he'd never done here before, like when the room's dark and... He was in the middle of all the great comics, all the top guys, and he did a shorter set, but he held his own, and Ahmed sat back there and watched him, and now he's, you know, Ahmed's been really embraced by the people in the Middle East since they had the success of the Axis of Evil shows over there with Maz Jobrani, Ahmed, and Aaron Cater. But Ahmed is the center front man, just like he's good friends with Vince Vaughn for this Wild West Comedy Show and all that stuff, and they're talking to him about booking the shows beyond just the places he went, including India, including Beirut, including Israel.
Mm-hmm.
And these are shows that Naveed may be part of. And the thing is, I mean, we've got Russell Peters, who's a top comic whose parents are from India, but he doesn't sound like Naveed, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Naveed sounds like he's from India.
Yeah, and Naveed's fresh off the boat. Isn't this the first time that they're presenting comics in the Middle East?
Absolutely the first time ever.
I've been wanting to do that for years.
Mm-hmm. Well, your mom wanted to do it, too. That's why she developed these guys. She said she thought they saw their role becoming more important.
The timing is perfect now.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, it's much needed. And I heard Naveed, he was so well received. And people, he said every show was sold out.
Yeah, when he went over there, he was very well received. And one of the reasons I like that he was well-received, the same with Ahmed, Maz, and Aaron, is they're ready, Sandy. They're prepared. You've been working with Naveed for several years.
Yes.
Okay, and Ahmed and Maz and Aaron worked in here with your mom for several years. So it's more than just sending people out. We're sending prepared people.
Yeah, Naveed said that Ahmed's looking at him to open up the shows.
Yep.
This is wonderful.
That's
well,
great.
You know, this is the beginning of something. And,
you
know, I'm glad to, you know, be...
Well, you are part of it. Just like over in the Vince Vaughn Wild West Comedy Show, Sebastian's getting the most around him, and you taught him.
Yeah, it's happening.
Didn't you?
Yeah, I sure did. I started him, and he's still doing the same material that I helped him develop in class.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, the stuff we work on is timeless. We don't talk about, you know, topical things too much. We talk about more humanistic things that have a test of time.
Right.
So... That's the best way to start when you're starting comedy. You don't want to do news or anything because it's old in 6 months.
And comedy is truly the thing that's going to bring the world together, and it can. If we all sit together and laugh, we can get through a lot of stuff together.
I think people really take themselves too seriously because you watch the news and it's all piped in, and we don't hear all the news. It's not well-rounded at all. It's one way.
Yep.
And so easy to be negative.
Yes, it is.
And if we look around and realize we take things just much too seriously, we take ourselves way too seriously, because, I mean, so what, go out for a walk, you know, instead of doing whatever, just do something to enjoy your day. And, you know, I've done things lately to lift my spirits.
Good.
Silly things, you know, like get my dog an 8-ball. Doing dog shows, people take it so seriously, I just go and I have a good time. But, yeah, it's a lot of preparation before a dog show.
Sure. You know.
A lot of preparation. So, okay, well, we have an interesting show coming up tonight with James Gilliland from eSETI.org. And are you ever coming down to La Jolla?
Yeah, I am going to be coming down the next couple months.
You are? Okay.
I'm going to work it out, and I'm going to come down on a Thursday and a Friday.
Great.
And I'm going to watch the shows. And your mom says she wants to come down, but even if she doesn't, you know, I'm her eyes and ears, so I'll tell her what I see.
Right.
But,
well,
Sandy, it's nice talking to you, and I'll talk to you soon.
Too.
I'll talk to you before next Thursday, okay?
Okay, great.
Take care.
Okay.
Bye.
So we're coming back with James Gilliland, and so stay tuned, and be right back. It's Sandy Shore, and you're listening to Happy Hour on BBS Radio.
You're listening to Happy Hour. No, not that kind of happy hour. The lighten up and smile kind of happy hour. More with Sandy and Sunny Shore in a minute. People visit websites with a goal in mind. To learn more. To buy a product or service. To be convinced or reassured about something. To register for information. Or for any number of other reasons. By understanding your customers' goals and motivations, we can create an intuitive experience to match. In an ever-changing online environment, new trends, technologies, and expectations demand that your website be interactive and constantly updated. Customers want to see new information, news, reviews, product and services, success stories, blog entries, press releases, pictures, and so much more. To keep up with the rapid pace of technological change and customer expectations, Creative Momentum offers a full suite of web tools and ideas to enhance your online image. Visit our website at creativemomentum.net for more information on all affordable services we offer. That's creativemomentum.net. Welcome back to Happy Hour with Sandy and Sunny Shore. If you want to find out more about comedy, visit sandyshore.com. And now, here's the lady that wrote the book on comedy, Secrets to Stand-Up Success, best-selling author and comedy coach, Sandy C. Shore. Oh, yeah, and Sunny.
Hey, we're back. This is Sandy Shore. You're listening to Happy Hour, and we have James Gilliland. James, welcome back to the show.
Oh, thanks for having me back again.
Of course. Well, before we get started, my dog has his 8-ball, and
uh-oh,
it's time to ask Sunny Sky a question.
Okay, how about, is there any intelligent life at the White House?
At the White House. It says, outlook good, but again, this is made in China, so
yeah, backwards.
We don't know.
It has to be good. It can't really go down any lower, you know.
Yeah, well, I think there's got to be some changes ready to happen.
Oh, yeah.
There's so much news. There's so much news. I'm getting your, I mean, you sent a message from the Palladians, and then there's so many things, and look at the big earthquakes going on.
Yeah.
And there's topics that you wanted to talk about tonight.
Yeah, I was kind of giving people a heads up because in the newsletter, and then we have these big quakes that hit right afterward. But what I'm seeing over and over again, it's really interesting. There's a lot of people out there giving people this feel-good message. And at the, you know, the LA Expo, when I was there, we had some, you know, pretty good crowds packing in there, and especially the UFO panel that I sat on had a definite full house. It was very crowded. But I noticed that there was people, and I'm not going to mention any names, that were telling people, oh, don't worry about it. There's going to be no earth changes. Anybody, you know, they're saying anybody that's telling you that are dealing with negative entities and all this other, amazing, you know, the total denial. And they packed the house, you know. Everybody came to hear the feel-good message, don't worry.
There's no way for them to know that, so I don't, they're trying to maybe eliminate fear, or, I mean, what is the purpose of giving information
out there? Well, usually, you know, you keep your following really builds, and everybody wants to hear that. And you tell people what they want to hear, not what they need to hear. Mm-hmm. And you know, it's like there's two sides of every coin, and it's good to give people both sides of the coin, but often people just focus on one.
Well, we had earthquakes in unusual places on the Utah-Nevada border.
Yeah, that was a pretty big one.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's another one out there in Indonesia that was a 7.5. That's a pretty big shaker.
That was today, in the last 24 hours?
Yeah, and they just have, there's a caldera in Baja that's going off, starting to erupt. And then Popocatepetl, I hope I'm saying that right, I never say it right, but it's erupting too as well. So, you know, the Earth's moving. I mean, it's definitely on the move.
The lunar eclipse, doesn't that have an effect on the Earth movements?
It does. Yeah, it definitely does. The moon is one of the biggest... creates one of the biggest problems
whenever there's a lunar eclipse, I sort of white knuckle it during that time period.
It does get weird. I was out trying to film it, and we still have about 5 feet of snow, almost 6 feet of snow on the ground.
Still.
And I was walking out to get behind the trees so I could get a shot of the moon, and I'd take two steps and then fall and sink like 5 feet.
That's okay to look at it?
Yeah, with a tripod. You know, I had a tripod and a camera and another camera and everything. And because, you know, what I wanted to do is just leave it running, because usually when we have these eclipses, everybody is watching. You know, they're out there watching. And these UFOs love to fly past the eclipse or fly around in the skies during those situations, especially down in Mexico. Every time they have a major solar eclipse down there, they just get tons of footage of UFOs, you know, hovering, you know, right in front of the
I wonder why they picked the eclipse. Because everybody's looking at the sky.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
It's a perfect time. Yeah, everybody's looking up.
Well, we were socked in, so I couldn't see it.
Yeah, I got it on film. I filmed quite a bit of it. What was funny is I finally got out there. I didn't get out there till it already started. And by the time I got out there, I sank down into the snow, and holding the cameras above me, you know, so they didn't get in the water, in the snow.
Is it actually snowing, or is it just leftover snow?
Leftover snow. And right just when I fell through the snow and was sitting there stuck, you know, trying to figure out, okay, how am I going to get out of this with all the stuff in my hands, a UFO comes flying in right behind me.
Oh, how fun.
And makes a turn, but I couldn't get it on film. I almost felt like they're laughing at me.
Oh,
but
I can't wait to go up there.
Yeah, it was quite interesting.
E.T. phone home.
Yeah.
There's so much to talk about. I'm trying to, I want to focus on, right now, on, there's this, people can't see energy, but you could feel something going on.
Oh, yeah.
And my body's been really, really speedy.
Uh-huh.
Like, I feel like running around the block to release the energy. Is that the kind of energy coming in, or?
It is. There's so much usable energy, and they've been talking about, you know, like in the newsletters. If people want to go, they can just go to eseti.org and sign up for the newsletters, and you can even go back and get the old ones.
Yeah, I wanted to mention, everybody, if you want lots of updated information, like daily, like maybe several times a day, just go to James' website, eseti.org, and sign up for the newsletter. It's like really a gift to get all that information. And there's a lot of people that contribute to that. Isn't that correct?
Yeah, there is. there's people sending me things all the time, and incredible footage of UFOs around the world, and,
mm-hmm.
and footage where there's just hundreds of ships in the air, especially around Peru and Mexico. They're having incredible flyovers on the, you know, in the cities, and
but
the
they're not leaving their ships, right?
No. Well, in some cases they are. They are. They just had a massive ship land in Mexico. And it sat on the ground for over 30 hours. And then, the whole town, it really scared people. But there were a few people that tried to sneak up on it and get footage, but their cameras wouldn't work. When they tried to film it, nothing worked, and their batteries were just deader than a doornail. And
why is that? Why doesn't the camera work?
It's sometimes it's the fields of the ships, and it's also they can turn your camera off. We've seen that happen several times where I was zooming in on a ship flying over and they backed my camera off. They took over the camera and they backed it back down again. And, you know, it was kind of funny, and it never did that again. And other times it just shuts off. If they don't want us to film them, the camera just turns off.
It's too bad in a way because, you know, the more the merrier.
They usually cooperate. Most of them cooperate, and they're actually really putting a display on for us to film them. But every once in a while, one will come in, and it might just be the fields of that particular ship, or I'm not sure why, but they actually just shut the camera down.
A lot of them radioactive?
Some of them are. The higher beings aren't. And actually, the energy that's running their ship is actually a healing frequency.
Oh.
And if you held on to the wires kind of coming off of that, it would actually heal you. But as soon as you attach it to something, it would knock you on your butt. You know,
uh-huh.
You don't want to touch it after it's attached to your butt.
What's this energy? This energy coming in. I mean, I've been feeling in the last few days much, much better than the previous weeks.
Yeah.
Maybe I've acclimated to it or something, but.
Mm-hmm.
What's going on with this Palladian message that you got?
What they're telling me is that they explained how they work, and they work down through the vibrational continuum, and they go, to understand it, we think physical mass is physical, and it really isn't. All the scientists now realize that mass is just condensed energy. But if you go two steps up, the energy actually comes from light, and light comes from consciousness. So they're two steps away from getting the big picture, but quantum physics have revealed that consciousness does create our reality, and the observer is very important to the outcome of the experience. So what they work with is they send higher frequency down through consciousness, through light, and down into the energy, and then things start manifesting. Whereas most people on Earth are trying to make everything happen here in the physical, they work mm-hmm. entirely differently. So people are wondering why aren't they doing anything? They're doing a lot, but they're doing it on other levels that are unknown
to
most
people. Can you
explain,
can you give an example of what they're doing?
Well, they're shifting, there's a grid around the Earth, a consciousness grid that's part of the collective consciousness of
humanity. Is that where all our thoughts go?
Exactly. And they've been tearing down the old grid and creating a new grid that is resonating at a much higher frequency. So the old consciousness has a lot of fear and lack and unworthiness and guilt and all of these things that keep us from reuniting, you know, with the source or the higher consciousness.
Are those the people that are kind of going nuts right now?
Yeah, exactly. It's whenever you bring in a higher frequency, it resonates the lower frequencies. It brings them up. They come up and try to match, or you try to find a midpoint in between. And so the people that are hanging on to a lot of fear and anger and guilt it's all coming up to the surface, and it's part of a process. And we have a choice. We can either blame or, you know, project it on others or outside of ourselves, or we can, you know, go within and own it and heal it.
Well, as far as, you know, how do you get people to bring themselves up? I mean, it's kind of flowery to say, well, we can heal it and this and that, but how do you get
mm-hmm.
people to match that higher frequency? What can they do to match that? I mean, I have my own insight, and I think people, if they would be lighter and start almost cracking jokes, uh-huh. and being funny and lighthearted about their day, I think that's the fastest way to match it.
Well, you know, I was listening to your show earlier talking about humor as one of the most powerful tools in the awakening and healing process, and it definitely is, and it's most important when you can learn to laugh at yourself and create the observer within yourself and start watching yourself when you're freaking out or when these emotions are coming up and move out of the emotions and back into the observer and just watch them, let them go, let them run their course, you know, thank them, say, oh, thank you for reminding me that, you know, I have an old wound or trauma from...
Well, thank you for being such an ass. And
yeah, yeah.
You know, I'm telling you, I have found, since you've done that clearing,
mm-hmm.
well, not I've gone a little nuts, but I'm back, you know, back again.
Yeah.
But I have found I'm doing things I've been in fear of my whole life, that I'm like, busting right through all of that.
Exactly.
And I've never in my life felt so, like, light.
Mm-hmm.
And at the same time, heavy, like trying to match. I'm trying to do, something's changing, and I'm feeling people around me are going through the same type of acceleration, or they're getting sick, and they're, you know, or something, or they're just, everybody's hiding.
Yeah.
You know, like, while they're going through these transitions.
Yeah, you can walk through town and just look at people's faces, and you know when it's a high energy day, because it usually goes in waves. People get really high with it, and they're all excited, and then the next day is process day. You know, where,
oh, that's true.
Yeah, where everything came up to the surface for everyone.
I've done this many times. I pull out of the house, start running errands, and all of a sudden I go, nope, go back home. Not a good day for this.
Yeah.
And turn around and go right back.
Yeah, I'll do that. I'll go into town, and I just get drained. I mean, I look at the energies in town, and then other days you go in, and it's real high. And
what's the population where you live, like 12? You say going to town, there's like 12 people.
Yeah, yeah. Well, no, the town here, Trout Lake, the little town I'm in, they say there's 500 people, but I think that's on a perfect summer day, you know. Okay. There might be 500 people in town, and it's a pretty big area.
What do you do, 500 people, what do you do for shopping over there?
You go across the border into Hood River, and you know, they have everything there. They have a couple of markets and Walmarts and everything you can think
of,
you know.
What an adventure, living in the middle of nowhere.
It's nice, you know. You don't we don't have a street light here, which is great. And you know, it's you know.
Well, pretty soon you will, because once our beaches sink and the towns like go under, everybody's gonna be moving inland.
Yeah.
Getting
yeah,
all the insurance, as you would say, right?
If they can outrun the tsunami, they will.
Oh my God! There's right off of San Diego. I heard there's some earthquake stuff going on, but I don't know. I haven't felt anything.
Yeah, Baja is having a lot of shaking, just right down in Baja.
Yeah, that's down below.
Yeah, that's where that caldera is.
So, as far as, like, the news, there's, I think a lot of changes are happening because we're having a presidential election, which, by the way, I'm not paying much attention to. Because it's so, we're so brainwashed. It's like,
you know, I had in my little newsletter, I said, one of the things I covered, I said, Ron Paul, the people's choice, is winning. Problem is, no one is informing the people. I go, the press, mm-hmm. when asked, keep saying, Ron who? Because they're also saying, what UFO? Oh, that reporter, we fired her. You know. And,
I just don't understand why, you know, they're doing, well, the media is controlling everything, so.
Well, you know, I think, to me, if the one thing that people are getting out of this, watching this election, is that almost every newscaster, you know, Ron Paul won in two or three places. I mean, he's placing second, and he's actually not getting any press whatsoever. And they'll say, oh, this guy won number one, and the other guy won number three. And you're going, okay, well, who won number two? Nothing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, no mention whatsoever. And I think the main thing that people are realizing is that the press is totally controlled by the, you know, the mega corporations, and you're not, you haven't been hearing the
truth.
They
can't control the internet, so that's where
I'm getting. Exactly.
If anybody wants to call in and ask James anything, the toll-free number is 877-876-5227. You can see it right on the BBS website. Feel free to call in and butt right into our conversation. We don't mind.
I was talking about the lunar eclipse, you know, and the newsletter, and I said, talk about, you know, going out and watching the lunar eclipse. And then I said, once the shuttle lands I said, looks like GW is going to have a little Texas target practice and shoot down a $1 billion satellite with a $30 million bullet, you know, a rocket.
Isn't that mind-boggling?
Yeah, and then after that, I said, Eli Smith, homeless, remarked, is there any food or building materials coming down from heaven?
So, right.
You know, and that's what people's priorities are so screwed up, and the news, you know, isn't really asking those questions like, you know, wait a minute, you know, we're putting billions of dollars into this ridiculous war, you know, these other wacko projects, you know, putting multi-billion-dollar satellites and spy satellites and you know, literally probably hundreds of rockets have gone up and just come right back down that just either exploded on takeoff or were sent right back down. And they're not telling you how much they've spent on that. And, you know, to me, looking at it from a more spiritual sense or humanitarian sense, you go, what's wrong with this picture? You know,
what is wrong with this picture?
Yeah, our infrastructure is in the toilet. You know, there's all kinds of people losing their homes. They're getting foreclosed on. You know, the homeless rate's going through the roof. It's like poverty levels are skyrocketing.
And where do you think the breaking point's going to be?
You know, I think it has to get really ugly. I don't think how it can get too much more ugly and dark, but I'm sure it will, because it's going to have to hit that point when the people are just going to say, okay, enough. We're not going to be giving our power away anymore to people that are constantly lying and deceiving and not looking out after us. We're done. And I think we're going to hit that point, you know, in the pretty near future, because it is just getting uglier and uglier and uglier. And luckily, the Internet is exposing all this. So,
mm-hmm.
And
the other thing is the prices keep going up, so people are even having a harder time. And so they're so busy trying to survive, they're not even looking at what's going around anymore because they can't even survive the day.
You know, exactly. You know, this planet was created as an Eden, and it was supposed to be a place where people live in harmony with each other and the environment and evolve to their highest potential. Now, what happened to that original intent or that plan? It got totally hijacked until we start looking at who hijacked it and who's behind keeping it from happening. It's going to continue in this muck and mire that we're in right now.
So who did do it?
Well, you know, there's only a small group of people that are behind this whole mess. And
they're controlling all the money, right?
Yeah, and, you know, not to get on the wacko side, but it is true. There are forces. There are other unseen forces at play here. And you know, there's what you might call some ETs that aren't too positive, and there's some sorcery stuff going on and demonic stuff. And then those are controlling a lot of what they call the Illuminati. So there's many levels to what's going on here. The good news is that the higher beings stepping in now are taking out the negative influences that have been influencing these other Illuminati people.
So do you think our planet will turn into the original intent?
You know, it is. That is the source's plan. That was the original plan. And there's the beings now that were involved in setting the original plan in the beginning are now returning, and they're going to set things back on track.
Do you think
again.
We'll see it in our lifetime?
Oh, we're definitely going to see it in our lifetime, but it's not going to be a cakewalk to get from here to there. There's going to be a lot of changes between now and 2012, and then that's the shift where we actually go into a whole new frequency, you might say, a whole new dimension.
So there's always like this year that everybody's, you know, looking towards, like it was when we went to the year 2000, now it's 2012.
Yeah.
What do you see happening in 2012?
Well, the problem with the year 2000, that was a man-made thing, and it was all around a computer chip. And
right.
So it didn't really align with any of the prophecies or any of the indigenous prophecies. And, you know, if you look at all of the elders, the Native Americans, the indigenous people, the Mayans, even the Egyptians, all of them talk about this time period. You know, even a lot of the Hindu scriptures talk about it. And we are going through this huge shift, and it all seems to culminate right around 2012. But
when you say shift, can you explain that, what that means?
Well, we're going into a whole new dimension, like going into a less dense physical reality, you might say. But the problem is that there's a lot of cleanup between now and then that needs to happen before we make this shift.
And that's going to be the Earth cleaning things up?
Exactly. And we're going to join the rest of the universe. And so we're going to have all the star nations returning, and a lot of the veils between dimensions are going to start collapsing. And we're going to see all these other worlds that actually live right alongside of us. We're just not aware enough to experience them.
But so if you know they're there, how do you know they're there? I mean, I'm not asking you personally,
yeah.
But how would other people know that they're there?
Well, a good example is right now this orbs phenomenon. You know, people are seeing orbs everywhere. And
those are round circles, like...
Yeah, they're light spheres that are showing up on everybody's film. And part of that's due to the technology, you know, of the digital camera, but we were getting, you know, orbs on throwaway cameras a long time ago with emulsion film. So if you go to any kind of a power spot or a high-energy place, you'll see all kinds of orbs. They like to hang out where nature hasn't been so disturbed as well. But these orbs, and another thing happening, they call them shadow people. People are seeing these shadow people zipping around, and they're catching lights out of the corner of their eyes, and they don't know what is going on. And they're also getting communication and waves of energy coming to them and through them, and they feel it throughout their whole body.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all part of the veils coming down. So,
what if people are scared? What do you tell them?
You know, you should fear your fear, I guess. I don't know.
I think fear is uncontrolled imagination.
Yeah. You know,
right?
You know, with me, having died, I already had the near-death experience and drowned and came back, and I had several as a kid. And you kind of lose fear, and you watch, you just observe everything. You go, oh, that was interesting.
So it's more, you know more about how to live instead of dying, because people walk around dying all the time.
Yeah, and that's what they're programming. You know, they say death is a failure to live, you know, so you really think about it, it's like your thought process. You know, they're proving now with Bruce Lipton's work and a lot of the other biophysicists, I work with some of them, they are proving now that actually, you know, the cell will live for, each one of your cells actually will live forever. It's created to live forever.
Ooh.
And it actually, the fields around your body are what's controlling the cell and the,
really?
You know, and everything. It's not the DNA. And they've proven over and over again that there's only like 30,000 genes in the body, and there should be 100 and something thousand to run the body. So all of a sudden the scientists are going, wait a second, what is operating this physical body? Something else is at play here, some unseen force. Well, bingo, you know, now they're into the unseen force or the field around the body. And so what you put in your field, which is your consciousness, has a direct effect on your physical body. So if you can start reprogramming your field and...
Are you talking about maybe the way you think?
Exactly.
Okay.
And do... You know, what's really powerful is do walking meditations. And as you're walking, you get into this zone and you just say, I am fabulously wealthy and healthy and whole, you know, and you just keep programming that into your field and it's going to start manifesting.
So it's basically down to what you believe in.
Exactly. You know, they do a lot of that, and there's a lot of schools doing that. The Rompa School of Enlightenment, or I don't know what it's called now, they do a lot of that, a lot of focus work. And
you know,
a lot
what?
Of
I have to tell you, I studied Buddhism for 19 years.
Yeah.
And I studied metaphysics for my whole life.
Uh-huh.
And I came down to just one sentence, you are what you believe in, and that's what I came to with everything.
Exactly.
And you know, people can do whatever they want to do. You just have to believe it.
I like that B. You know, when you separate the word believe, it's B-E-L-I-E, B-E, you know.
And where did all the Bs go?
Yeah, it's like B. Everybody forgot the B, and they're living, they're in the lie zone, you know. So
I work with, you know, students teaching stand-up comedy classes, and most everyone has stage fright fear.
Yeah.
And then once they get through that and realize that's an illusion, then they can start being themselves a little more.
Uh-huh.
And it's a whole process they go through into believing in themselves and trying to be who they are already and not change a thing about themselves.
Oh, yeah.
And that's, you know, what I base it on, and that's a really good, you know, method.
You know, my yoga teacher taught me that. I used to take yoga a long time ago, and I had a brilliant yoga teacher. And she knew my issues. I mean, she's the type of person who just looks right at you and knows your issues. And that was one of my issues, is about speaking or standing up in front of a big audience and making a fool out of myself.
Mm-hmm.
And it just locked me up. And so one day there's about 35 people there, and she just grabs me and she goes, "Okay, James, my senior student, is going to stand up and tell you all about yoga, how it's helped him, what it's done for him, and how it affects the body." And I went, "Oh, crap." You know, like, no warning, no prompt, nothing, you know. And I was getting sick that day because psychically I knew I was going to have...
More people come down with the flu right before they have a show.
Yeah, and I was facing that, and she goes, "Come." She goes, "I guarantee you, if you come to this class, your flu will go away." And she knew it was my own resistance, and she made me do it. And so it's funny, so I just walked up in front of the group, and I just said, you know, I said, "I'm just going to be straight up with you. I've got this great fear of standing up in front of a lot of people and making a fool out of myself." And I said, "So here goes." And I just went, "Bleh," like this, like just, you know, let it all out, you know. And I go, "Okay, now that that's done." And I just released it, and then I went on, and I gave this incredible dissertation about yoga, and I didn't even know it was in me, you know, when it came out. And
the time goes so fast when you're talking to people, too.
Yeah, and she was just sitting back there beaming, you know. She was so... And afterwards, I said, "You know, thank you. I needed to face that." And she goes, she told me, she said, "You know, you're going to be speaking to a lot of people." And she said, she goes, "This is really important." And she said, I just felt so much love and joy and power coming through me, sending it to you too. And she goes, "The masters are very happy, you know, the higher beings." She goes, "They're very happy today." And, you know, almost brought tears in my eyes, but it was...
Isn't that interesting how we come to Earth and we have these blocks? And they're just illusions.
Oh yeah,
it's weird. It's with everything.
And like, you know, we're so caught up on our own self-importance, and we're so needy and looking for love and joy and acceptance outside of ourselves. And until we break that program, we're just a sucker for everyone and everything that comes along.
Absolutely. Well, you know what? The younger generation, you know, all of us experience it's the hormones that drive people.
Yeah.
Your hormones make them make decisions for them instead of using the wisdom to knowing that you need to take care of yourself as far as self-love, and then you could put it out there.
You know, my a lot of my nephews and nieces, they're just the total indigo kids and everything. They're brilliant. You know, one of them's working on the genome experiment. And the other one, you take pictures of her, and her head lights up. All you see is gold energy.
Really?
But, you know, I would mess around.
Well, I guess we're talking about different kids then.
Yeah, and I'd joke around with them, and I'd throw zingers at them to see how they react, and they just look at me, and they don't even react, and they go, "Well, I guess you need to say that." You know, just,
wow.
You know, and just pull the whole wind out of yourself. You know, and I just start laughing. I go, good one. You're walking in your power, you know.
Mm-hmm. They have the surroundings to help them with that. I mean,
yeah,
it's so interesting, this Earth and what's going on.
Well, we've always supported them in their inner knowingness and to go within and
instead of saying, "Go see a therapist, there's something wrong with you."
Exactly. Don't give away your power, just deal with it, you know, and they've become very strong and very centered.
I remember when I was 9 years old, I was living in Beverly Hills, and I was standing in the alley, and I was looking up in the sky every night, looking for UFOs.
Yeah. Because in your soul, you probably came from there.
Oh, I know I did.
Yeah, so it's like the people that go out and stare up in the skies and are...
At 9 years old, 9 to 11 or 9 to 14 years old, I just always just waited in the sky, just going, take me home.
Well, you know, we still have a memory of a greater family that just loves us even more so than anything on Earth. And
Beverly Hills, of all places.
More than?
I had to be brought up in Beverly Hills, of all places.
Yeah, and we long for that on a soul level. And there's a lot of people that are doodling triangles, you know, and staring at Orion or the Pleiades or something, and they're just, you know, their soul saying, you know, "Where are you guys? You know, I want to go home. You know, it's tough down here."
Yep, I'm stuck teaching comedy. I don't know what else to do.
Yeah.
Except bottom feed on eBay.
Yeah.
There's some great deals. We talked about that last week.
You should find a really good comedian and bring him up, and we'll have him here at the conference. We need a comedy hour up here.
When is the conference?
It's July 4th weekend.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Independence Day.
Oh.
So you come here and you'll become totally independent of the social consciousness and recycled ignorance that we've been jammed into our heads for so many years.
Well, I'll mark that date. There's a whole movement in the Middle East. We brought the first comedians overseas there.
Yeah, I heard about that. That's awesome.
Yeah, and that's been my dream.
I hope they don't lose their heads or something, you know, like say one
wrong
thing.
That's, you know, I don't know. I think they're staying out of bad areas. I'm not sure.
Yeah. Well, you know, they're beheading that one woman, I guess, because she tempted some man or something. I don't know.
What?
Yeah, it was just in the news. They said this woman's a witch and she's been tempting men or something like that.
By lowering her veil.
Yeah, and so they're going to cut her head off or something. It was just in the news. I couldn't believe it.
How awful.
I go, how psycho, you know?
Well, there's their belief system.
Yeah, and then they strip searched another woman for having coffee and laughing with a man at a coffee house. And she was an American and had two kids. And they jailed her and strip searched her and charged her with, you know, all these things. And you know, it's like,
you know, and we women give birth to the men that do that to us. That's a little odd.
Yeah, it's kind of strange, you know.
Isn't it weird when you think about it? It doesn't make any sense.
You know, we were talking about earlier, we were talking about how what we really need to run this country is a wise old grandmother, you know, with a big bat. You know?
That's a good idea.
And then we need to get a wise old elder grandmother, you know, a Native American, and then give everything back.
That's so true.
You know, so...
That's so true. So... And then, you've gotten, there's so much going on. What would you say the main thrust right now is?
You know, what they're telling me, they're talking a lot about love and healing energies are the ultimate power. And that's what the creational energies are. And the beings that are aligned with those energies are pressing that energy hard on the planet right now. And there's streams of consciousness and energy coming into the earth.
I mean, how are they sending it? I mean, what are they doing to send it?
All they have to do is think it, you know. And if they think it as a collective,
thoughts are all real.
Yeah, and thoughts are instantaneous. You know, they say nothing travels faster than the speed of light. Well, that's not true because thought is instantaneous.
Mm-hmm.
And there, you know, Niels Bohr and others have proven that there is a communication that's instantaneous through all life. You know, it's in the unified field, so they understand this, they live it, and they put their focus and their energies on things, and they just watch all the lower stuff, you know, hit the fan, kind of.
Well,
you know,
they're in a different dimension, and I know we're in, what, 3D,
yeah.
So it takes us a really long time to manifest something.
Exactly.
So our thoughts, how long does it take our thoughts to manifest something?
You know, it really depends on how focused you are.
I heard this story once. Somebody wants a new car.
Yeah.
And they think and they wish for a new car. And by the time it manifests, they wind up buying a used car.
Yeah.
Because it took that long. It was a new car when they wanted it, and by the time they got it, it was a used car.
Uh-huh.
And that seems how slow it works.
Well, I'll tell you what. I did this ceremony once. It's a Vedic ceremony, and you use sage, and you burn this sage, and it's very powerful. And what we would do is you get in a circle, and you do clearings and clear the energy out. And then what you do is you write down on a piece of paper three wishes, the three things that are really important to you. And then what you do is you pass the sage, and you whip the sage over you, and then you say each thing out loud. And it shows how you feel about them, because some people are afraid. You know, they're afraid to say, hey, I want a beautiful sexual woman to jump into my life. You know, they're not going to say that because they're really inhibited, and that inhibition is blocking them from the manifestation. You know, just like saying, I want a car, well, could they say, I want a Jaguar blue, metallic blue, whatever? You know, they can't really ask for what they really want because they're inhibited, and that inhibition is what blocks the manifestation. But what I see, too, is that when you're really awake, you really don't need all that stuff because you're really trying to manifest things from an ego level or from a social consciousness programming level. Like, if I have this, I'll be happy. Or if this woman comes in my life, I'll be happy.
Mm-hmm.
Or if I have this big house, I'll be happy. And they don't realize they can just be happy.
sitting in the middle of nowhere.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the ability to enjoy less more, you know. But
one thing I did come to realize is that we are in physical reality and there's things that we do need.
Yeah.
Like we do need a car, we need a pot to cook in, we need things. And it depends on what quality, you know, need
you
want.
Well, I did this ceremony. I asked for three things, and I got them all in 3 days.
Really?
Yeah.
Did I ask what they were?
I'll tell you what. I love my yoga teacher because she says, okay, we're not going to hear world peace. We're not going to hear this stuff. She goes, this is for you personally.
Mm-hmm.
And she goes, ask for something that's important to you. Well, at the time, I mean, this was quite a few years ago. I was just getting into yoga, and I said, you know, I want a beautiful woman to come into my life. I said, I want my house that I had down in Southern California to sell full price and quick sale and cash out, I'm out of there.
Mm-hmm.
Because it had been sitting for like 6 or 8 months, and it was in
what city was it in?
It was in Fullerton, California.
Oh, okay.
And then I said, and the other thing was I wanted a motorcycle. I've always wanted a motorcycle. Again, I had one as a kid, and I wanted a motorcycle. So it was weird. In 3 days, okay, I met this beautiful woman. We were totally spiritually incompatible, and everything.
All the details.
Yeah, it was like you know, the Ferrari with no keys. You know, you know, couldn't drive.
Or no gas in the car.
Yeah, and so and then I, you know, my house sold. You know, within 3 days, the guy goes, "I want to move in now. I've got cash. I want to, you know," and bam, it just went, and it had been sitting for over 6 months. And so, and then I was given two motorcycles, and they were a pile of junk. Both of them were just a pile of junk. And I took them both apart and put them together. They're the same kind and got one to run. And so I thought about it later. I said, you know, I should have asked for a very loving, joyous, spiritually connected, compatible, you know, helpful mate. You know,
mm-hmm.
I should have asked that the house thing. I was real specific and I got it. And on the motorcycle, I should have said, hey, I want a brand new blue Harley Davidson, you know. and so basically all I manifest is what I was able to accept in my present consciousness.
So there you have it. It's like, well, I know when we get to the other side, we can manifest just by thinking it, right?
Oh, yeah. But, you know, each manifestation taught me something. You know, in the relationship, it showed me how shallow I was thinking. You know, that I needed to be a lot clearer within myself, you know, and on the material level, I was very clear and very exact, you know, and when I got into my joy or my toys or playtime, you know, again, I was probably undeserving or I had some things I needed to heal in that area.
I see.
So
the
process
true.
Shows you, even if you don't get what you want, the process actually shows you where you're inhibiting, you know, or blocking yourself.
That's like so perfectly said because it's so true.
Mm-hmm.
They're like people punish themselves.
Yeah.
Just get out of everybody's way.
You know, exactly. It's like the universe wants to fill that void, you know, and
mm-hmm.
when you do these manifestations, the way you do it, and at the end you totally release it, you let it go and you move
on. You mentioned the word void. You mentioned the word void, and I just wanted to hit on that really quick. Like,
mm-hmm.
you know, when you lose someone, like I lost my dogs,
mm-hmm.
you know, there was a void. I mean, what do you do to fill the void? You get another dog? I mean, I did get another dog, but
yeah.
it didn't replace the dogs, but
well,
when people lose someone...
I don't know how you lost them because they still exist, and you know, they're just on the next level without a physical body.
I can't pet them and play.
But what's that?
I can't play with them.
Yeah, you can. Just get out of your body and go play with them.
Oh.
You know? But you know, with me is my father died, you know, a couple of years ago, and I was going and seeing him when he was in and out of existence, or what you might say, and in between worlds, and we were hanging out and having a great time. And
you do that when you're just like, when you're awake, you just kind of meditate and you go there?
Yeah,
that...
and so when, and he remembered it very clearly. He'd pop back in and he'd go, hey, that was great, and talk about what we did and everything. And so when you get to that level of consciousness, when he did cross over, I didn't have any loss. There was no sadness, anything. Everybody else was bawling and crying and upset. And I understand what Jesus is saying. He's saying, let the dead bury the dead. And what he's trying to explain to people, look, they're dead, you know, in their consciousness. They believe in death. They believe the physical is all there is. That's where they're at. Now, let them do that. Let them, but let's move on, you know, to the next level. And, and realize nothing ever dies.
It just seems that there's a void though when they're physically not there anymore.
Yeah, but you know, when you develop yourself enough to where you're experiencing them on an inner level, in a heart level, and you're meditating, you know they're with you. It's so comforting to know that somebody who you thought was gone and lost, you know, might be standing behind you, giving you a hug or.
Don't they have other things to do when they're on the other side? Don't they, like, continue school or go off and do whatever they have to do?
Well, usually there's about a couple-week period or three-week period. Depends on each individual. They have a kind of an indoctrination thing they have to go through in a life.
I notice that every time somebody I know goes on the other side, they're around for 2 weeks really heavily, and then they're gone.
Yeah. Yeah, they have their little review, you know, and they go through that. But usually after the review, they can come back if they desire. And, you know, they become people's guides and help people on the other side.
Now, you said we have the same guide?
Yeah, we share quite a few. You know, we have a lot of similar connections. There's houses of consciousness.
Okay.
And, you know, just like you'd have maybe the house of Jesus or the house of Mary or Buddha or... You know, a lot of people are attuned to the house of, Babaji or Yukteswar. There's houses of consciousness that people are attuned to. And a lot of people have a shared guide, you might say, on a very high level. The higher up you go in the dimensions or levels, the less uniqueness there is. So it's everything's more all one. And so it's not... identity is not that important, you know, when you get on the higher levels. And so
everything's merged, sort of.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, everything's kind of merged, and everybody kind of shares in the one they're just little focal points in the one consciousness, you might say.
So you're saying that's where we have a common ground right there?
Yeah. You know, there's a saying, it's hard for people to understand, but you can be unique, yet you can be one with the one consciousness that encompasses all consciousness. You know, in all planes and dimensions throughout the universe, and that's your spirit. And even your spirit has many levels. So
you're listening to us, I'll tell you that right now. I sure felt a huge shift while we're talking about this.
Yeah, and so just eventually, when we return to source, we all come from the same source, and we all return to the same source. So we're all family down here, despite all the religions and cultural boundaries that we create. And that's what people need to get back to, you know, stop identifying with the genetics and this multicolored earth suit that you're walking around in, because you're really a spirit. And
I think
when
the Palladians, they call it the rental unit. Or,
yeah.
No, they told me, I don't know, a few weeks ago, they said they like to call it the carriage.
Yeah, yeah.
The soul's carriage.
Yeah, you know, it's like your little earth bot, you know, to run around and do your thing on earth, and then and then you take off again.
It's true, all those errands we have to run all day long.
Yeah, and you know, we can go into that later, we don't have enough time tonight, but it's very interesting how that works, is that your soul does project into the field, it's kind of a project into the quantum field, a beginning and ending, like an outline or a program, and we're down here running that program. But we can step out of that program at any time into that timeless spirit and start changing it.
So making it sound more simple, it's we run our own play down here, and if people know we're just in a play,
yeah,
then you don't take things so seriously.
Yeah, you know, that's where you have to go back to the observer and catch yourself.
Ah, okay.
And just go, oh, wait a second.
We should be laughing all day long because I mean, the more I talk to you, the more I'm laughing almost.
Yeah, I pretty much laugh all day long. And, you know, sometimes I'm very blunt, especially if I'm typing or something to somebody.
Uh-huh.
People, I'm really to the point and blunt, and people go, why are you so angry? And I said, you know, you can't see my face. I'm laughing. You know, I'm like on the floor laughing with some of this stuff.
That's their anger they're projecting.
Yeah, yeah.
But,
and I said, I'm just telling you bluntly where you need to go to the next level, and I'm doing it without fear or attachment or, you know, fear of losing your acceptance and approval or love. I'm just saying, look, I'm telling you what you need to hear to take the next step, you know, and if you're not ready, that's great. You know?
Well, this has been wonderful talking to you, and we're going to do it again soon, and I'll be seeing you soon. It's a matter of a few weeks.
Yeah, we'll be in Palm Springs.
Yep, I've already planned out. I'm staying. I've got my place where I'm staying. Everything's all ready to go.
Oh, good.
Okay, so we're signing out. Thank you, James. ECETI.org, ECETI.org. Have a wonderful rest of the evening, everybody. James, thank you so much.
Oh, thanks again for having me on the show.
Okay, talk to you soon.
All right, good night.
Bye-bye.